Transition to the message time. I invite you to open your prayer and action guides. Pull out the yellow sheet that says sermon notes and response card. This is meant to be a two-way communication tool. Hopefully you hear helpful scriptures and ideas. There's a spot where you can jot those down. And then at the end, I'd love to hear what God is saying to you and how God is calling you to respond so that we can support you on the journey. And while you get that ready, I invite you to join me in prayer. God, we come here this morning from all sorts of different places with all sorts of different things on our minds and on our hearts. So we ask you to do what only you can do. Reach us where we're at. Transform us by your grace so that no one leaves this place the same as we came in. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Well, during the season of Lent, we've been focusing on five words that help us better understand Jesus and become more like him. So far in the series, we've discussed the words identity, struggle, voice, and light. We've saved the best for last. And by best, I mean hardest. The fifth and final word of this series, drumroll, is control. The only way to truly experience God's life-changing presence and power is to give God control of our lives. This is not easy to do. The other day I was driving home and my eye fell on a comical scene. A young man was taking his dog for a walk. The dog, however, was not cooperating very well. The man was obviously trying to lead him in a straight path, but the dog was like running all over the place. It was left and right, forward and back, up and down. There was a lot of tripping and stumbling until finally the dog was so tangled up in the leash that it just couldn't even move anymore. I couldn't get that image out of my head. And I think it stuck with me because it was such a vivid portrayal of how my spiritual walk with God often plays out. And God tries to lead me in a straight path, and yet so often I want to take control, go my own way, do my own things, and it's only a matter of time before I end up tripping and stumbling and getting tangled in a web of my own making. Can anybody else relate to that? I know this, and it's still hard to give God control. I mean, it's hard enough to give over control of the remote, I mean, let alone my entire life. But this is the only way that we can experience God's life-changing presence and power. Thankfully, we can turn to Jesus for help with control. Jesus shows us why we can trust God with our lives and what it looks like to give God control. We're going to explore both of those this morning. In our gospel reading, we find that there is a battle going on inside of Jesus. The time of his betrayal, arrest, and crucifixion were nearing. And on one hand, Jesus didn't want this to happen. I mean, who can blame him, right? On the other hand, he knew that his whole life had been heading towards this moment. And his soul was troubled. I think we can all relate to this kind of internal battle. We encounter it every time there's a perceived conflict between God's will and our will, God's way and our way, what God wants, what we want, where God's leading and maybe where we would like to go. But despite his intense internal battle, Jesus gave control of his life into his Father's hand. And through this remarkable act of submission, Jesus reveals why we can trust God with our lives. First, Jesus trusted that his Father had a good purpose for his life. Jesus used the analogy of wheat to illustrate this good purpose. In John 12:24, Jesus said, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. In other words, a kernel of wheat has to be planted in the soil and die in order for it to bear a wheat stalk that produces many seeds. In the same way, Jesus was going to die in order to give life to many others. That's why God sent Jesus to earth. God sent Jesus so he could take the punishment of all of our wrongs and conquer the power of death. It would only be through dying that Jesus could offer to all who believe in him the free gifts of his love, forgiveness, power, and eternal life. As hard as it seemed, Jesus trusted that God had a good purpose for his life. Second, Jesus trusted that his Father would be there to help him through. Even if he was going to die, Jesus trusted that somehow his Heavenly Father would be able to lift him up to new life again. And he predicted his own resurrection and ascension. Jesus could confidently give control of his life to his Heavenly Father because he trusted that his Father had a good plan for his life and that his Father would be there to help him through. Jesus told his disciples that following him would involve the same kind of trust and the same kind of handing over of control. He said, if we try to hang on to our life, we're just going to lose it. But if we let go of control for God's sake, that's when he can give us true life, or maybe new life. And we can trust God with our life for the very same reasons that Jesus trusted. First, we can trust that God has a good purpose for our lives. There are so many great scriptures in the Bible about this. Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." Or Ephesians 2:10, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." God has a good purpose for our lives. Philip and Andrew uncovered this purpose in the gospel reading. Philip was one of the original 12 disciples of Jesus. And one day, some Greek visitors came to him and asked if they could see Jesus. Well, this kind of put Philip in a little bit of a pickle. Even though his name was Greek, he was actually Jewish. And Jewish people didn't often mingle with those who were non-Jews. And Philip didn't know whether or not he could bring this guy to Jesus, and this group of Greeks to Jesus. So he went to another disciple, Andrew, and Andrew was just as clueless. So they both took the question to Jesus. And of course, Jesus said, yes, he came to earth to draw all people to himself. He wanted to give all people the free gifts of his forgiveness, love, power, and eternal life, regardless of age, gender, race, nationality, whatever. This gift Jesus wanted to give to all people. And so Philip and Andrew had the opportunity to partner with God in helping other people enter into a relationship with Jesus. And Jesus articulated this purpose for all of his followers in the Great Commission. In Matthew 28, Jesus said, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." God has a good purpose for our lives. Each and every one of you have been uniquely gifted and uniquely placed so that you can help other people enter into a relationship with Jesus. And while it might take a risk or even stepping beyond your comfort zone, I guarantee you there's nothing else that we can do that is more exciting and that has more of an eternal impact. I got to taste some of the excitement this past week. A woman from our church called me to talk about her friend. Her friend is going through a really difficult time in his life and really needed God. She invited her friend to worship, and he came several times. They had many conversations about God, and And she said, man, he's close. I think he's really interested. And this past Monday, I got to meet with the man, and I was with him as he prayed for Jesus to be his Lord and Savior. And it was so moving to see tears of joy fill his eyes as he received the free gifts of Jesus' love, forgiveness, power, and eternal life for the very first time. It's just nothing like it. God has a good purpose for each and every one of our lives. If you've never before received Jesus' free gifts, I believe God brought you here today on purpose so that you could hear this good news and enter into a relationship with Jesus. If you'd like to talk about next steps, I'd love to have that conversation with you. Just let me know on your response card. But others of you who have a relationship with Jesus, I'm pretty sure that you probably know someone who doesn't yet have a relationship with Jesus. And I believe that God has divinely positioned you in their life so that maybe you can be the one to reach out to them, to invite them to worship, to have conversations with them about God, to help them draw closer to Jesus. This season of Lent and Easter, it's a great time to do it. People are more open than ever. We have lots of tools to help. If you want to have more encouragement or help, just let me know on your response card. God has a good purpose for our lives. Second, we can trust that God will be there to help us through. There are so many great verses about this as well. Isaiah 41:10, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Or Hebrews 13:5, God said, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. And remember, Jesus closed his great commission with a great promise. Surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. And who better to trust than the one who gave his life to save ours? We can trust that God will be there to help us through. This was the lesson that was being passed on in our first reading. The book of Proverbs was a letter written from King Solomon to teach his son about life and faith. And in this letter, he wrote, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge God, and he will make your path straight." You might know that Solomon was a king of Israel. He was known as one of the most wise, wealthy, powerful men who ever lived. So if anyone qualified to lean on his own understanding and take control of his own life, it would have been Solomon. But that's not the advice he gave to his son. He said, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding." In other words, he was saying to his son, no matter how smart or rich or powerful you think you are not God. You don't know everything that God knows. You can't see everything God can see. You don't understand everything that God understands. You can't do everything God can do. So trust in God alone to make your path straight. The people of Israel learned this lesson through trial and error. The times when they trusted God, they found that God was faithful to be with them and help them through. For instance, there was the time when God delivered them from slavery in Egypt. You might remember they were coming out of Egypt and they got trapped between the Red Sea and the approaching Pharaoh's army. But God was faithful to help them through. God made a way through the Red Sea so that they could safely pass on to freedom. Our God can make a way where there seems to be no way. On other times, though, the people of Israel tried to take back control. And like that dog in my opening story, it was only a matter of time before they tripped and stumbled and got caught in a web of their own making. This happened right after their trip out of Egypt. God wanted to lead them into the promised land. This was only an 11-day journey, straight shot, 11 days. But because they rebelled against God and tried to do things their own way, they ended up wandering through the wilderness for 40 years. Maybe some of you know what it's like to be on that winding road. Solomon wanted to spare his son from learning this lesson the hard way. And so he encouraged him to trust in God with all of his ways, because he could trust God with all his heart. And we can confidently give God control of our lives because we trust that he will be there to help us through. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is available in every challenge that we face. The story of Bob Evans is an amazing testimony of this good news. I just read a great book about him. I'd highly recommend it. But Bob Evans was a chaplain in World War II. He volunteered to serve on the front lines because he knew that those soldiers really needed Jesus. And Bob got to see many of his soldiers come to faith in Jesus, including his friend Eddie. One day, Bob was riding his motorcycle and he ran over a landmine. The mine exploded and severely burned his body. This was awful. And just because we follow Jesus doesn't mean that sometimes bad things won't happen. Jesus said himself in John 16:33, "In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, because I have overcome the world." Following Jesus does not mean we won't have trouble. What it does mean is we'll have a God who will be there to help us through. And Bob Evans experienced this good news. Miraculously, he survived the explosion. Somehow, his friends were able to find his body, and they took him to a hospital in a small town in France. While Bob was recovering, he traveled around the town. He found that the people there had lost all hope that God was with them. And God used Bob's presence in that small little village to renew their hope and faith in God again. Tragically, Bob's friend Eddie was mortally wounded in a battle. But before he died, Eddie thanked Bob for introducing him to Jesus so that he could spend eternity with God in heaven. From there, Bob went on to share the good news of Jesus all around the world, and his testimony is just an incredible witness to the good news that we have a God who is there to help us through. So Jesus shows us why we can trust God with our life. God has a good plan and a good purpose for our lives, and God will be there to help us through. Jesus also shows us what it looks like to give God control. It starts with prayer. Listen to Jesus' prayer in verse 27. Jesus said, "Now my heart is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Jesus prayed that God be glorified. I was kind of convicted by this prayer. Jesus didn't pray, "God, save me from my trouble." He didn't pray, "God, glorify me." And as I thought about it, a lot of my prayers actually are kind of like that. "God, save me. God, bless me." And that's not necessarily a bad prayer, but it's all focused on me. Jesus' prayer was focused on God. He said, "God, I pray that you be glorified in every situation." That's a prayer that God will always answer. And the Gospels record another prayer that Jesus prayed right before his arrest and crucifixion. In Luke 22:42, Jesus prays, "Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." Jesus prays that God's will be done. Again, I was convicted because I often pray, "God, may my will be done." It's not necessarily a bad prayer, but again, it's focused on me. And Jesus prayed that God's will would be done. And that's a prayer that God will always answer. And so giving God control, it starts with this shift in how we pray. A shift from seeking our glory to seeking God's glory. A shift from seeking our will to seeking God's perfect will. And Jesus backed up his prayer with action. In Philippians 2:8, it says, Jesus humbled himself and became obedient, even to death on a cross. And that's why God exalted him to the name above every name. Jesus gave God control through humility and obedience. He humbled himself and was willing to obey. And just like Jesus, we give God control through humble obedience. People often ask me, well, how do you know what God says? And I don't mean to be flippant, but the best way to start is with the Bible. God has given us instructions on how to best live our lives in the Bible. He gives guidelines for relationships, health, money, conflict, work, friendships, marriage, parenting, purity, and on and on and on. In our Bible app, we can search just about any topic there is and find related Bible passages and reading plans so that we can hear what God has to say. Now, we may not always like what God has to say. We might not always want to do it, but it's always in our best interest to humbly obey. One good example in our reading from Proverbs, right after trust in the Lord, lean not, it goes right on to say, give to God the first fruits of your harvest. We call that tithes and offerings, right? God says to bring back to him 10% of what he gives to us. Now, giving demonstrates control, right? It says, who's really in control? But God says, if you do this, I will promise to provide more than enough for all that you need. And I will make your 90% go way farther than you could ever make your 100% go. It's always in our best interest to humbly obey. And there are other times when maybe we're seeking God's specific guidance on something that's going on in our life. And here are a few criteria that I use to determine whether or not an idea that I have is from God. One, have I spent time intentionally listening? Two, do I feel peace about it? Three, does this line up with what God's word affirms? Four, when I talk with other Christians I respect, do they confirm the direction that I'm leaning in? And five, am I trying to justify what I want, or am I really open to God's will? And again, we may not always like what God says or want to do what God says, but it is always in our best interest to humbly obey. I know this is way easier said than done, but we can turn to Jesus for help with control. Jesus shows us why we can trust God with our life. God has a good plan for our life. And God will be there to help us through. And Jesus shows us what it looks like to give God control through prayer and action. To pray, God, be glorified. God, your will be done. And to humbly obey as God leads. And that's how God can give us his life-changing presence and power to bring about new life. To help us prepare our hearts for response, we have a few members of our music team that are going to share a special song about control, and I pray that it ministers to your heart like it has to mine. It's not easy, but it's worth it. The bottom of your sermon notes is a response card, and I invite you to prayerfully consider how you can respond to the scripture and the message today. How is God inviting you to give control over to him? What areas of your life are the most difficult and the most needed where you can give him control? I'm going to give you a moment with God, and then we'll close in prayer. for the prayer. I invite you to stand as you're able. On the screen is our vision prayer, which is one of the best prayers I know of that demonstrate this kind of desire for God to take control so that God can be at work in our lives. And so as your hearts are willing and ready, I invite you to pray this prayer with me. God, today is a gift from you, which is filled with divine possibilities. Help me eliminate unnecessary distractions and focus on your vision. I surrender all that I am so that you may use my life to forward your kingdom in this community and beyond. I will give my very best and joyfully offer you my love, my abilities, my energy, my thoughts, my faithfulness, my resources, my relationships, and my gratitude. Unite us so that we will thrive. Guide and equip us by the power of your Holy Spirit to reach and transform our world. Amen. I invite you to be seated.